Thank you, Shai, for joining me today and speaking with me about your new album and your career as a pianist. I wanted to ask you, first of all, what or who inspired you to launch a career as a concert pianist?
You know, I have to say, I never really decided to do it. I started to play the piano because we had one at home. And even though nobody was playing it, but I guess I was attracted to it for some reason when I was, I think, maybe five, and tried to teach myself, which only, you know, got me that far. I mean, you know, there's so much you can do. But then they talked me into taking lessons, which, you know, made things a lot more interesting, especially when I started to read music. But, you know, I don't come really from a musical family, but they did make the music available. And we did have records, and we had, I mean, they bought me scores when I wanted those. And so it was funny. I was growing up in a place where nobody within a 30-mile radius was playing an instrument. So I definitely felt different, but I was just simply too hooked on classical music to care that I was the only one that liked it. And then in 1985, Amadeus came out. And I just was completely, completely infatuated with Mozart because of that movie. And, you know, started studying his music more and more. And I have to say, I do not regret it, because I'm still infatuated with Mozart and with all these other guys. But yeah, that's, you know, I just sort of kept doing the same thing in a way. What I like to do is to study classical music, study pieces from all periods, and perform them and share them with other people.
Now, you have a special affinity for the music of Franz Schubert. Can you tell me a little bit about what draws you specifically to his music?
Yeah, you know, in recent years, I've felt very, very strongly about Schubert's music and have done it quite a lot and continue to do it quite a lot. I think there is a certain power and a certain pace to Schubert's music that is very different from any other composer. And of course, you can say that about any great composer, because they're all different and unique. That's what makes them great. But for me, in the case of Schubert, I think it's especially the combination of, you know, the naive and the tragic. And his worldview is, at once very painful, but still retains a certain kind of optimism in it. And, you know, unlike Beethoven, whom I also adore, of course, you know, he didn't really see the world as something that needed to be changed. You know, he's not an idealist like Beethoven was. You know, Beethoven's music was about changing the world. And I think Schubert's music is about what the world is. And he's just sort of just, you know, there's a sense of resignation, which I think is really very compelling and very touching. And I think that there's that power to his music that I find irresistible. And I really need sort of to live with that on a daily basis. I think I need Schubert in my life.
And you've become known for programming works from different eras. On this release in particular, you combine the music of Haydn and Ligeti, two composers that would seem to be totally unrelated, but you find a connection that transcends time.
Yeah, you know, what I like about juxtaposing composers that are from different periods and with very, very different styles is to really try to delve into what connects them. Because, you know, in certain cases, you know, what you find is sort of the truths behind their music and the human aspect of their music that transcends, I think, like you said, transcends what separates them. It's fun for me to imagine somebody like Haydn, you know, from the 18th century, you know, with that funny wig, sitting down at the table with Ligeti, who was this shaggy-haired, you know, late 20th century genius, very much of our own time, sitting together and exchanging ideas about music and, in a way, jamming together in spite of the centuries that separate them. I like to experiment with programming that way, because I think you just discover things that are inside the music that are not on the surface, but yet are very, very strong and powerful, and create a conversation, like a posthumous, you know, conversation between composers that can illuminate the works of each of them.
Now, you have tied together compositions from different centuries on several of your recordings. I know your debut recording combined Brahms and Schoenberg. Are there any challenges specifically that you face when putting a program like this together?
I think the biggest challenge is to find a healthy balance between what's different and what's common between the two composers. You want a little bit of both. I think if it's only different, then it's not as interesting. And if it's too close, it's also not interesting. Right. You know, so I think, you know, with Brahms and Schoenberg, what I like is that on one hand, there's so much in common between the music of the two of them. And Schoenberg was, you know, would be the first one to admit that and to be proud of that. And yet you can't find two composers that had more different receptions in the public. You know, I mean, everybody loves Brahms. How can you not love Brahms, right? And a lot of people hate Schoenberg with a passion. And which I kind of like, you know, I like to confront them with that and hopefully in that recording show them that Schoenberg was this intensely passionate composer. And yes, his music can be very much in your face, but, you know, that's okay. And so, you know, and the same I feel with Haydn and Ligeti. Of course, people maybe don't hate them. I hope they don't. I don't think they do. In fact, on the contrary, I think... Ligeti is, I think, more admired than any other recent contemporary composer. He's really universally admired by every young composer you would find today. I can't think of, you know, you won't find any young composer today that doesn't worship Ligeti for good reason. And with Haydn, that was the case, you know, in the day, you know, Mozart and Beethoven and all these other guys, you know, it was Papa Haydn. I mean, of course, you know, we learned everything from Haydn. He's like the George Washington of classical music, you know. He also was born in the same year, believe it or not. You know, he was a father figure for a lot of composers. I think in recent years, there has been a lack of Haydn in our musical landscape. I think he's overshadowed by Mozart a little bit. His life story is not as compelling as Mozart's. I mean, you know, Mozart's life story is hard to compete with, let's face it. But Haydn's music is very different from Mozart's, and it's so rich and so full of layers. And his humor is so witty, and his music is also so sincere that I really think we need more of it. And I always felt that, you know, the piano concertos, they're different from Mozart, yes, but that's what's so great about them. You know, they shouldn't be overshadowed by the Mozarts. I think they deserve to live next to them. And so that's one of the reasons why I really wanted to include those two concertos on this recording.
So is there a favorite piece on this recording?
Not really. It started with the Ligeti concerto. I really wanted to record that. And I always felt that he would really go well with Haydn because of all the things that I mentioned and because of the kinship, you know, in their spirit, in spite of the differences on the surface. And so that was sort of the process that I was following. But I love the Haydn concertos just the same. I absolutely do. I think they deserve to be heard more.
And do you change your approach when you're performing a standard work like Haydn from modern compositions?
Not really. I think in principle, what you aim for as a performing musician, and I would even say probably any performing artist, it's probably true for, you know, any of the performing arts, is you try to give a sense that the piece is being made up on the spot. That there is a freshness to it. You try, you know, you aim for that freshness and spontaneity of a, you know, creation that's being made right there and then. And so whether it's a piece from 1785 or 1985, as the case of this Ligeti, doesn't really matter. You want to find this infectious spontaneity that would hopefully come across even on recording, you know, certainly in live performance, but even on recording.
And you're working with violinist Jennifer Coe on a series, Bridge to Beethoven. The project explores the impact and significance that Beethoven has had on a diverse group of composers and musicians, definitely along the same lines of what we've been talking about here.
Yeah. You know, both Jenny and I love to combine old and new. And I think it's safe to say that the primary reason behind it is really to look at the old pieces, so to speak, with a fresh eye and find the timeless in the really great stuff that's being created today. Because who knows what will survive and what won't. But you really always look for the most compelling works of art that are being created today and seeing how they reflect the past and how they comment on the past. I always feel that the really great stuff never completely broke away from the past. There is always something that lingers that a great artist, a great composer, a great writer learns from their predecessors and elaborates on it and builds on it without ever completely obliterating it. Even if they say something new, you can always later on find traces from, you know, the greatness of the past. So it's a combination of progress and continuation that tends to be common to all great art.
I have to ask, what's in store for the future? Do you have any new projects or recordings on the horizon?
Yeah, actually, I just came out of the studio last week doing a recording of nothing but impromptus. It was all pieces that are either called impromptus or improvisatory or outright improvisations by different composers, and hopefully interesting.
Shai, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today, and we look forward to your future performances and recordings.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.